Poorly Read.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 17 of Poorly Read.
This Poorly Read.
I had no warning for that.
I didn't either.
In this episode, we're talking about chapters 10, 11, and 12 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of...
Wiki on the roof. That was awful of me. I'm the guy who has the stammer. I was taking the piss.
Chapters 10, 11, and 12 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
I think you're saying that wrong. You should say it as 10, 11, 12.
What's that for? I've heard you do that before. I don't know what it is.
You have laughed at that before. You're one of those fucking people who just laughs if I don't look like a twat in the middle of everyone.
It still sounds funny, even if I don't get it.
Oh, thank you. It's from... it's from Sesame Street, but there's like a Family Guy bit where they basically use the entire clip. So that's where I remember it from specifically, but it's from... Sesame Street. I think it's like it's in a pinball machine, I think, and it's like a counting thing, and it's the Pointer Sisters, I think, they do the vocal for it. They did the jump for my love song, I think.
All right.
And so it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like that. And they do like other number sequences as well, but that's the one they use in Family Guy. Yeah. Educational.
All right, so now we've firmly established what chapters we're covering.
Yes.
Let's get right into it, shall we?
Let's comment. So, chapter 10, the Marauder's Map.
The Marauder's Map. Harry's in the hospital wing.
Yes. Why? What happened to... Oh, he fell off the broom.
Oh, the Dementors invaded the Quidditch game.
Yeah, he got fucking demented, bro. He fell off his broom.
They demented him. Yeah. They all arrived in force.
D-mented. Yeah. Yeah, so Harry's in the hospital for a week. Then, believe it or not, he gets out.
Yeah, he recovers.
Yeah, and they go about their normal lessons again. Malfoy gets his arm back, basically, as well.
Yeah.
Around the same time, gets his arm out of the sling.
Yeah, finally, long last, stops fucking milking it.
Ew. He's like, well, it just got so red that it actually started to go green. So I was like, because I can't tug on that one anymore. I just have a stump now. Stump and a nub. Oh, fucking hell. So they go to potions and Malfoy's talking about his arm again and stuff and he's all better now. And Ron flings something at Malfoy across the classroom that lands in Malfoy's like potion pot. And Snape takes 50 points off of Ron.
Does he?
Doing it, yeah.
Fuck me. I did not pick up on that.
I was like, these teachers fucking take these points away like at an alarming rate.
Yeah, this is Snape though. Against a Gryffindor.
Yes.
Like, but... he takes points away from Gryffindors and they haven't done anything wrong. If they actually have, like...
Do you think you can ever just say, like, that's it, all the points, and the entire hourglass just goes, whoop?
Yeah, all the points.
Oh, if you want to give someone all the points... Fuck. Oh my god, and like the hourglass just smashed and then just it kept on like multiplying all like, the gems.
All of
stuff.
The colored gems just keep
and it just spills like through the windows of the castle.
It fills the entire castle. They have to evacuate. And it's the end of Hogwarts. Oh Jesus.
Oh god. And Dumbledore was just outside and he was like, oh, I never thought I'd live long enough to see this happen.
It was foretold. The all the points prophecy. They go to Defense Against the Dark Arts as well, and Lupin is back.
Where did he go?
He was away ill, and Snape covered his lesson.
Of course, yeah.
And made them look at werewolves and gave them like the two rolls of parchment essay to write. And they will start immediately launch into a tirade of complaints about Snape. And Lupin's like, it's fine, you don't have to do the essay.
I wonder what he said to Snape afterwards then.
Yeah.
You know I mean? I wonder what that conversation was like.
Oh, so thought you'd set them a long essay on werewolves, did you?
So imagine you like... Snape's in his in his office,
in his cave,
in his little fucking nook, and Lupin sort of like, you know, stands in the doorway, like casually leans against the wall, like his one arm up on the thing, like flicks
Snape's,
his hair.
Snape's hanging upside down from the ceiling in a chrysalis.
He's got a belt around his neck.
Yeah, with
he's like, ah, feels so much better when you can't breathe. And Lupin's like, knock, knock. Snape's like, yes, I know you're here. Yeah. And Lupin's like, I don't want them to do that essay, Snape. Snape's like, well, what will you do for me? Yeah. Do you think you can make me come just as you're turning into a wolf in that sweet 5 seconds? That would be magical. Well, everything's magical, yes. But this especially, yeah. Sir. Fucking heaven, they do it and it just goes horribly wrong.
Yeah, he opens the window on the full moon. Now go. Go, oh shit.
Lupin just fucking rips his bollocks off. And Snape's like, oh, how did I not foresee this?
Well, I knew the risks. And I paid the price.
Oh, God. That didn't happen, I'm sure.
I'm sure it didn't.
J.K. Rowling would be so horrified if she knew what we were saying. Fucking hell. So, yeah, Lupin chats to Harry after class about the incident.
Yeah, and he does address what, because we talked a little bit about why the Dementors actually come to the Quidditch match. Like, was it because Sirius was there, or, like, why?
Oh, does he address that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What does he say?
He says it's because they'd been, like, starved of any human joy for such a long time. Like, Dumbledore keeps them on the outskirts where there's nobody, and there's such a concentration of, like, excitement and happy feelings that they were just drawn to it and couldn't help it, and Dumbledore was furious.
I don't know how I missed that. I guess maybe because I was listening to it so fast.
Maybe. But I just picked up on it because we talked a bit about, like, why were the Dementors actually there.
Well done,
and he does address it.
5 points to Ravenclaw.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Only five.
Yeah. Well, a reasonable amount, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone just gives a point.
A single point. Yeah. A point degree. I feel like they might do it at the very beginning of the first book. Like,
I don't think they do.
In the early days, a point to Gryffindor.
That doesn't ring a bell.
No?
No, I think the lowest we hear is 5 points.
Yeah.
I would say be the kind who'd be like 3 points to Gryffindor. Like 3.5 points.
3.5.
And the hourglass is just like... So Harry's like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, don't worry about it.
Is there anything that we can do to, like, fend them off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lupin says, yes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Lupin's
we're
like...
We're terrible at this. Yeah.
I feel like he does the classic, no, no, not at all. Well, there is this one thing, but no, no, it's too crazy. I couldn't possibly.
I was like, no, Lupin, tell me, tell me.
He was like, I couldn't. I shouldn't have even mentioned it.
Oh, God, the memory.
The spell that's very specifically created for the thing you want to do. Don't ask me again. I couldn't possibly.
It begins with an E and ends in a pecto and starts with a B and ends in a Adrolus.
But I won't say anymore. You can't make me.
So it's Christmas time almost, and not almost, it's Christmas time. And everyone, Ron and Hermione, decide to stay at Hogwarts for Christmas. Which I'm not really sure why, because not most people go home because of the sort of like the threat around them of Sirius Black. Ron and Hermione decide to stay.
Yeah, I guess to keep Harry company?
Maybe. They're really good friends. I don't reckon many people would do that for their mates.
I would.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't like your dead serial killer eyes when you said that. It's harder to hide the bodies when there's so many people around. Yeah. So.
They literally do that over Christmas in book 2. Hide Crab and Goyle's bodies in
hell,
the cupboard.
You're so right. Oh, Jesus. Maybe Hermione's hoping for like a repeat.
Yeah.
So, guys, who are we going to drug this time?
I've definitely got a human hair this time.
I won't tell you where I got it from. It's short, it's curly. Guess. And Harry's like, Hermione, what is wrong with you? And why are your pupils so wide? She just gets a nosebleed.
I just had a thought. Do you think if you put a hair from an animagus animal, like one of Scabbers's hairs, into Polyjuice Potion and drank it, would you turn into like a, the weird rat deformed thing, or would you turn into Peter Pettigrew?
Oh, what a question. I bet you would just change into Peter.
Because it's still him, right?
Yeah. And I reckon it must be like sort of like a DNA level thing. So I don't know if your DNA necessarily changes
when
you become the animal. So maybe if it's like a hair follicle, it might be still made out of exactly the same makeup as...
Yeah, it's almost, you know, it's almost like an illusory... I mean, it's not. It's physical change, but like it's just an appearance that's
changed.
That'd
be a question. I bet that's something that she has an answer for.
Yeah.
Maybe we should ask her. I'd love for her to do like a Twitter Q&A. Just bombard her.
Oh, we would bombard the fuck out of that.
And we would just tag it as poorly read. Yeah. So everyone's like, guys, let's check out this cool new thing.
Oh, yeah. How can we make that happen? It's such good marketing.
Right. Oh, we just need a catchy theme tune. We have a catchy theme tune.
Yeah, we have typewriter sounds.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, I keep on thinking is, do you remember the theme tune to Big Baby Pop, like the Sherbert Lemon sweet thing?
I actually do, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it if we did it in that. So it's like, Peabody Red, yeah. Peabody Red, you listen to the podcast, dip it, then suck it.
Oh, I think, can dip it, then suck it, please be like our tagline.
How can we add like a wizarding like quality to that? Dip it and suck it.
With a swish and a flick.
You like swish it and flick it. Oh, God.
Swish it, flick it, shake it all around.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Oh, filthy boy.
Yeah, so it's a Hogsmeade weekend. Which I imagine that would be so nice, having a Hogsmeade trip like just before Christmas.
Yeah, all the nice pretty snow.
Yeah, that's why I'd like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I just like seeing all the women out there in the cold and their erect nipples.
I was like, what?
Oh, what it must be like to be heterosexual.
I mean, they're wearing too many layers in the winter to see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, too many layers, too many, many yeah. layers. God, stop me, please.
All right.
So Harry's all fucking upset, as naturally you would be. And Fred and George fucking pull him aside and give Harry a special present.
Yes, they do.
And then they give him a map.
Yeah.
That was such a cheap joke. I hate myself for that.
But we've got to do him, though. When it's low-hanging fruit, you got to take it.
Fucking hell, if that sums up our podcast perfectly. Yeah. Oh, God.
Dumbledore's low-hanging fruit.
He's like, well, that's why I have the special pouches in my slippers. So, yeah, they give him the Marauder's map.
They do. And they tell him how to work it. They tell him, you know, the secret to our success. And they do the whole little bit of fucking talk that they do, yeah. Which is one of the most excruciating scenes in the film for me to watch.
Why?
Because those two are just awful.
I fucking love them.
Oh, you would. They're the most, they might as well just have the script in front of their faces.
I think they're really good.
No,
I
they're
do.
Terrible. To be fair, where they're given direction to finish each other's lines, there's only so natural they can make it sound.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're reading like this, and the other one finishes like this. It's like, people don't talk like that.
But I think they sell it because their faces have that sort of... I think they've always got an expression which is very sort of like knowing of how sort of... as if they're not... The characters aren't doing it seriously. As in, they're doing it knowing how wanky it sounds, but they sort of get off on the fact that
yeah.
It's like, that's how it always reads to me.
I suppose.
I think. You don't have to agree, babe.
We often don't.
I know. Oh, good. So, trivia. JK said that, because I've always been like, how the fuck did they get this map to work? And she said that the twins figured out how to work the map because it's the kind of thing that they would try saying, and that's how they found out how to work it. So there wasn't a special instruction. It was literally just, oh, it's the kind of thing that they would say, so that's how they accidentally got it to work.
Like just randomly typing in passwords.
Yeah.
And they're like, guessed, no way.
Yeah, and I thought that's fucking bollocks.
That is bollocks.
As if you would stumble upon saying, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much of a far reach. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That is bullshit. But I did wonder, what are there any other instances of, like, non-magical incantation phrases, like activating magic items? Because that's not that's not a standard incantation. And it made me think that the Marauders probably decided on those, that's going to be the words to activate it, right?
Yeah.
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 So you can make magical items that have magical properties that are dormant until you say certain words and you decide what those words are.
Yeah.
That's not utilized again, I don't think, which is a shame because that's awesome.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's not really. I mean, I can't think. Yeah, I mean, like in book six, like they get access to the cave with like blood's magic, which is not an incantation. That's kind of cool. But I can't think of anything else, yeah, where they say like a cool phrase to access something.
Yeah, or like just something that just looks like an ordinary throwaway item, but then like, you activate its magical properties by like whatever code the designer has like used to lock it.
Yeah,
whatever password they've set.
Do you know, we should like keep a lookout for that, I reckon.
Yeah.
So maybe it does come up again and we just haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Just quickly, I did wonder if the twins have identical wands, because I don't think that's never mentioned in the books, and I wonder if they do, or if there's like a slight, or if there's like a difference between them, like their fingers.
Yeah, like they're from the same, like two hairs from the same unicorn or whatever.
Yeah, or if they're like radically different wands.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to find out, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet they do. I bet she just was like, yeah, they have identical everything. Also, the twins are born on April 1st.
Ah, quite like that.
Yeah. So Harry uses the map to get into Hogsmeade, because the map, see, and this is the only time the map does this. It seems to have like precognitive abilities.
Yeah.
So it shows, Harry looks at the map and it's a map of Hogwarts, if you don't know, and it shows everyone in Hogwarts and where they are. It shows all the secret passages in and out of Hogwarts. And there's a few that were there that have now like caved in and things like that. But there's an old statue of a witch that has a massive hump on it, and the hump slides open and you can get through the hump into a secret stairwell that takes you to Hogsmeade. So Harry's sort of wondering how to do it, and he's approached the statue. I think it's under his invisibility cloak.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
He has to hide under a table. Later on. That's one of my points later on in Hogsmeade. Why doesn't he have his fucking cloak with him?
I thought he did. That's so bizarre.
No.
But there is a point he does have his cloak with him, because there's a bit where he climbs down through the witch and he leaves the cloak at the bottom of the statue and forgets to take it with him. And then he remembers, oh, fuck, I left the cloak there. So I wonder if that's in this book or in a different book. Because I don't know why it would be in a different book, because he has a note to get out by the end of the book.
Yeah, I don't know. To be fair, I just know that he doesn't have his cloak in Hogsmeade.
Oh, okay, so maybe this is why.
Then why would he have it? Because he's just wandering the corridors, like going to the library or something, and Fred and George pull him aside and go, here's the map, and then he uses it straight away from there. He doesn't go and get anything.
So does he go back to Hogwarts, Hogsmeade again through the witch?
I think so. I think he doesn't just do this one trip.
Okay, we'll have to keep an eye out for that then, because I have a really specific memory of him leaving the cloak at the bottom of the witch. So I'm wondering when that is then. There must be more than one trip that he takes, though.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Okay, so yeah, the map shows him tapping the witch and saying the incantation to open it.
Yeah.
And that's how Harry knows what to do. And I thought that's a very bizarre quality of the map that is never mentioned again.
Yeah, it's like giving him instructions for how to get into the secret passageway. Descendium.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's like, he has to go down this fucking tunnel and stuff. And he comes across a staircase eventually, and it's a long time before he does. And he thinks, he starts climbing it and it takes fucking forever. He says he thinks there's about 200 steps that he takes, but he loses count.
Yeah, like 100, 200, he lost count. Like,
yeah. But he ends up in the bottom of Honeydew, so under like a trap door that you wouldn't, once he gets out and it closes, you wouldn't know it was even there unless you'd actually just come out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wonder if the owners of Honeydukes know about it.
I reckon not, because if he couldn't even see it, I reckon that they have no idea. Because at first I thought, how did they not fucking know there was a trap door there?
Yeah.
But then if they couldn't see it at all, I guess it was because of that.
Yeah, maybe not. And yeah, I mean, unless they, I feel like if they knew about it, they would have some sort of magical thing on it. That,
yeah,
like,
guard against this exact thing.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they can't know about it really. Then there's my point about Harry's not under the cloak.
It's weird as well, because in the film he is.
Yeah, I think, because you remember he like fucks with Ron a little bit, doesn't he? Like, yeah.
and he takes the lollipop from there as well, so it like floats in midair.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that as well. Yeah. But then, and that's what I had in my head. But I was noticing as I was listening to the book, like he's not invisible. He's just
So he does catch up with Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
And tells him about the map. Hermione says you should hand the map in, and Harry's like, right, like fuck off.
Yeah.
And they decide to go and have a drink and free broomsticks. Mm. And when they get in there, a load of teachers come in. Hermione pushes Harry under the table, I think, and like
she pulls, yeah,
she magics a tree in front of them.
Magics a tree in front of the table so they don't see them, and puts Harry under the table. And I sort of think like Harry's very famous. Everyone knows who he is. And everyone knows that he's not allowed to be in Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of kids and teachers about. Did no one see him in Honeydukes? Like, did no one notice that he was in there?
That's a very good point. I guess that not many people knew that he wasn't... Maybe not many people did know that he wasn't allowed in Hogsmeade.
Maybe.
It's only, like, his friends that he told that he didn't get the thing signed and McGonagall.
Yeah, then he didn't go the first time.
But I mean, you wouldn't necessarily
maybe
notice.
Maybe you wouldn't necessarily notice.
Because like, honestly,
if there's anyone who you're not going to notice going, it'd be the famous guy, I guess.
I guess, but you've been at school with him for like 3 years now.
Yeah, so kind of used to it,
I suppose. If he's not your friend, you wouldn't be like looking out for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not as if they all stay together when they're in Hogsmeade. They all sort of split off in their little groups and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I reckon it's possible. It's like plausible.
Yeah, fair enough. There's mention of rowdy warlocks again in...
What the fuck is a warlock?
What is a warlock?
I need to find out.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do like a... from the future to find out what a wizarding warlock is.
Once we've Googled it.
Yeah. Once I fucking drove around JK's, tied her to a chair, got a knife out, and been like, what the fuck is a warlock?
So there's no mention of that. The teachers sit down right next to the table that Ron, Hermione and Harry...
Well, let's say who it is. So it's McGonagall, Flitwick, Hagrid, Cornelius Fudge.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And Madame Rosmerta, who owns the tavern, she comes over to serve them drinks, and she sits down and has a drink with them. I don't really understand why Fudge is there.
No, me neither. He's just about to hang out with his pals from Hogwarts.
I don't think they are his pals. I can only imagine maybe he was there to see Dumbledore on some Dementor-related business, maybe, and they said, like, we're going down to Hogsmeade. He's like, oh, I'll join you. Like,
yeah, maybe.
That seems like a...
And I thought he'd have, I mean, if it was the Muggle Prime Minister, he'd have had all sorts of, like, security guards everywhere.
Right?
And, like, he doesn't have any. He's just out in public.
That is very bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's very bizarre, actually. Yeah. Curiouser. And curiouser.
Hmm.
Which I didn't know is not an actual word.
Curiouser?
Yeah.
Is it not?
No, it's only from Alice in Wonderland.
Huh.
Yeah.
There we go. He made up a lot of words though, didn't he?
Yeah. Also, have you heard the theory that he was Jack the Ripper?
No.
Yeah, so there's this big theory, and there's a thing. One of the things is that on all the days that Jack the Ripper killed, Lewis Carroll wrote the passages for his book or books on that day in red ink on all the days. Isn't that weird?
Super weird.
And he had like a weird... Because Alice is based on a girl, like a little girl that he was friends with. And apparently, like, there's lots of sort of debate as to how maybe unhealthy his feelings towards the little girl were. And so that's like another, like, thing. But that could all be untrue, and I don't want anyone from the Lewis Carroll estate.
Yeah.
All of that is alleged. Alleged. Yeah, so they're all in the free broomies.
Yeah, Hagrid orders 4 pints of mulled mead.
Oh, but that tastes fucking rank.
4 pints.
Well, he's a giant.
Yeah, he's half giant.
We're still a massive fucker, like...
Yeah, but still, that just seems like fucking...
He's probably got the stomach that's like the size of like a baby elephant.
It just seems impolite, though. It's like blatant just gluttony.
I doubt that Hagrid has any sort of sense of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a refillable mug that will fill up 4 times. So maybe it's not so like egregious.
That would be cool. Yeah. I wish that was a thing. And I feel like if it was a thing, she would have included it in the books because that's a cool idea. So you order however many drinks you want, and then the cup they give you is enchanted to refill that many times.
Then you could pay for how many you actually wanted, and then it would just do it, and your friends wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how many is that you're on? And I'm like, oh, it's still my second. You're like,
Yeah.
Okay. put your finger on your nose and walk in a straight line. No, why don't you put your fucking finger on your nose and walk in a straight line? Oh, don't talk to your grandmother like that. Why not? She's dead. Oh, yes.
But don't talk to her at all then. It's weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put the corpse back. Close the lid. Oh, but it's Christmas. No.
All right, but put her back after dinner.
Or at least stick her on top of the tree this time. Right, fucking really important bit. So they all start fucking talking, and they start talking about Sirius Black, as you might imagine, because he is like the fucking flavor of the month.
Yep.
And Madame Rosmerta, because she doesn't really know a lot about what actually happened. She says like, oh, I remember how close him and James were. They were always coming in here, right, pair of troublemakers. And Hagrid's like, oh yeah, I remember. No, that's it. And McGonagall's like, oh, I don't think we've ever had such a troublesome pair at Hogwarts. And then Hagrid's like, no, I think that Fred and George should give them a run for their money. And I think this is the first time that Harry's learning that his dad and Sirius used to be friends, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it's mentioned that Sirius was the best man at the Potter's wedding.
Yeah. Then they start talking about Peter Pettigrew, saying, yeah, you know, he used to follow Sirius and James around like a lapdog or whatever. I don't think they say that, but something to that effect. And then McGonagall was like, yeah, I was always really hard on the boy, you know. She basically says that he wasn't as talented as the other two, and because he wasn't as bright, she used to be really hard on him because he didn't used to try as hard, or she never used to thought he was trying as hard as the others or something. And now she feels really bad about it, because after the Dark Lord fell, Sirius like cornered Peter Pettigrew in a street. Peter Pettigrew begged for his life, and Sirius laughed and then cursed him and blew away him and 13 other muggles.
Well, she said that Pettigrew thought to hunt Black down and challenge him.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. And that he, challenged him in the street, but he was never any match for Black.
Yeah.
And so
Black had way better Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he's like, I choose you, Clefairy. And Black's like, I've got a Gyarados. And it's a Japanese shiny. Like, oh, damn. Yeah, oh. Damn you, Godzilla!
So, yeah, they regale all that, and then they say, but the worst thing Black ever did, and then they explain all about the...
get a perm. It was the 80s, yeah. What can I say?
And then they explain about the Fidelius charm, I think it's called.
I love this.
Yeah, it is super cool. If someone wants to hide from someone specific, or just hide in general, be secreted away. Like,
I think it's from someone specific.
Yeah.
I think it can be as specific or as general as you want.
Yeah, probably, depending on the secret you give the secret keeper, right? So yeah, Lily and James found out that Voldemort was after them, and so they wanted to hide themselves away. And the way the Fidelius charm works is they give their location and their information, I guess, to their secret keeper. And if that secret keeper doesn't tell where they are, no one will ever be able to find them. They say Voldemort could have had his nose pressed up against the Potter's sitting room window and he wouldn't have been able to find them if the secret keeper didn't let on as to where they are. And the Black was the Potter's secret keeper, and that he was just waiting for that moment to happen so that he could betray them to Voldemort. And I did kind of think, that's a terrible thing. Is it the worst thing he ever did, though? Is it worse than blowing up a street full of 13 people?
I think so. And the reason I think
2 deaths versus 13 deaths?
Not in terms of like the statistics, obviously not. But I think that on a personal level, I think that, I mean, it's like being like a traitor in biblical terms is the greatest sin that you can commit. It's like the worst circle of hell is reserved for those who betray, right? And I think that to betray your friends is that's so egregious. And in that way, it would be like if we found out that the person who gave up the Anne Frank house was like the dad's best mate or something, you know, it would be like, you'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's terrible. You know? But is it worse than killing a room full of strangers?
It's not in terms of the actual bloodshed, but I think the personal level of the
evilness.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
That's because, like, to kill sort of 13 random people, that's awful, but it wasn't personal per se.
I guess it's betrayal not, was. Yeah, you know? I suppose it's more evil.
Yes, what
he did.
Yeah.
The
I
most
think
evil
so.
Thing he did, I yeah. think, would, yeah.
It'd be different if maybe he, like, tortured and, like did awful things to those 13 people. That's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. And then Hagrid's like, and I fucking, I comforted him, you know. He when I was getting Harry from the wreckage, Sirius was there and he offered to take Harry off of me. And then he was like, he said I could use his motorbike. And then he had to rush off because he said he had business to attend to. And he was going to find his fucking to see if Voldemort was okay, which wasn't what happened. And I did think, fucking hell, Sirius, if you just fucking told Hagrid in that moment what had actually happened.
Yeah.
It pretty much would have, it probably would have been all right. Everything would have been all right. Just your hot-headedness. If he had just been, because it turns out, like, I hate sort of spoiling it for everyone because I do kind of want to, like, get to the crescendo.
Get to
everyone
the big
does
reveal.
Know what, like, happened. But basically, it turns out, at the last minute, the Potters...
Sirius convinced the Potters not to use him as their secret keeper and to
oh,
use
Oh, did
Peter
he?
Instead.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh,
because,
shit.
Because Voldemort would never guess. He would know straight away that it would be
yeah.
Sirius.
So they chose Pettigrew because they thought he would be a least likely like candidate to be captured and tortured because he wasn't as close to the Potters as Sirius was.
Yeah.
Not knowing that Pettigrew was actually Voldemort's informant. And so, yeah, if fucking Sirius had just been like, Hagrid, it was fucking Peter. He was the secret keeper. It wasn't me. And then it could have all been solved.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, mate, what a fuck. Oh, it just makes me so like, you know, but alas, what can you do? So Harry finds this out and obviously is fucking upset. They go back to the castle after this. They sneak out of the pub. And obviously Harry's like distraught, kind of, he's sort of like solemn rather, you know, he's like, doesn't want to talk and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, well, you would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fair dues, I guess.
Fair dues.
Poor kid, I feel really sorry for him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right, though, he's a wizard.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us nicely into chapter 11.
Yeah.
The Firebolt.
The Firebolt. I like this chapter.
Yes, so, where yeah. we begin with Harry looking through photo albums, I think.
I think so, yeah.
That's the first note I have anyway, so let's say we begin there.
So, kind of like the next day rolls around and Ron and Hermione are like, Harry, don't try and go after Black, all right? We know what you're probably thinking.
Yeah.
We know what you're like.
And Harry's all like, maybe I won't. Maybe I won't.
It's like, Harry, you're a 13-year-old boy, mate. Everything you've done up to now is just luck.
Yeah.
Which you do admit to in book 5, but I don't know if you really believe it.
Yeah.
You know? So they say, look, should we go and visit Hagrid?
Yeah, they go see Hagrid for some reason.
I mean, I guess if you need a distraction from anything, he's pretty good at that. Because whatever fucking atrocity he's got himself into, be like, oh, well, now I can focus on this and not
yeah.
my own problems.
whenever I go to type the word Hagrid like 2 or 3 times, yeah. I've accidentally written Jagrod.
Oh, excellent.
Because the J is right next to the H and the O is right next to the I.
Jagrod. Fucking right. Motion pass. That's it. So yeah, they go down to his little hut and Jagrod is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And he thrusts his penis forward. Hermione's like, not today. Not today, Satan.
All right, we'll read this letter instead then.
Yeah. Puts the letter on the table and puts like his dick on top of it. If you want to read the words, you got to move it. And Hermione just grabs her wand and Ron's and uses them like chopsticks. It's like
just like pick it out of the way.
Oh, look, it's standing up all by itself now. How wonderful.
Why did we come and see Hagrid again?
Yes. Oh, Hagrid, the paper's getting wet. Yeah. Why is it green?
Yeah. Why is it seeping and oozing?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, they ask him when they're trying to think of something to say. They ask, they say, how are the flobberworms? He's like, dead. They've too much lettuce.
Fucking hell. That man.
Wow.
I just can't. He is just a human equivalent of a potato. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking that one at the bottom of the bag that just sat there and fucking grown roots. And you're like, I want to throw you away, but I just kind of want to see what happens. So yeah, they read the letter and basically the ministry has decided that Buckbeak is a menace to society.
And he's going to have a formal trial.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Hagrid is obviously not happy about that. And they're like, look, Hagrid, we'll see what... Like, I'm sure there's a way out of this. We'll help you out and stuff.
Yeah, we'll testify and all of that.
And then they sort of leave thinking, oh, fuck, what have we got ourselves into?
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it's fucking Christmas.
Fucking Christmas.
Christmas Day. And I thought Christmas sounds wonderful at Hogwarts. It really does.
Yeah.
It's almost the kind of Christmas that I would want. It's like the second kind of Christmas I'd want, I think.
So what's like, the first?
My dream Christmas is to be in like a log cabin in like the Swiss Alps on like a shag rug with like festive jumper on and like eggnog and like a roaring fireplace. Yeah.
Alone or?
Well, I always imagine like David Beckham in this fantasy. Yeah, Victoria's dead. And he's just like, it's okay, I'm happier now.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, now you got someone you can hold on to.
Ron gets a maroon jumper again.
Yeah.
Because his parents hate him.
It's not even got his initial on the front.
No.
It's got like a T. And he's like, okay, I guess my name is Tonald now. It's not got anything on. It's just a jumper. She's like, look, I knitted for the rest of them. I sort of ran out of energy when it came to yours.
Yeah.
So this is just one of my old ones. I thought Mrs. Weasley sends pies as well.
Yeah.
I was like, I bet they taste fucking good.
I bet they do taste good. And there's a list of like some of the treats and stuff they have. There's like a nougat and fucking lollipops and whatever.
Yeah.
And nut brittle.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it?
Yeah, do you know...
what the fuck is nut brittle?
Do you know a Mr. Tom bars? Do you remember those?
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
They looked horrible. I never got one.
They taste actually really nice. It was just basically like nuts, like kind of mixed in with like hard toffee kind of thing.
Huh.
So that's what like brittle is. So it's like if you've got any kind of like whatever brittle, it'll be like sort of mixed in with like caramel, basically like hardened.
Oh, shit.
It's nice. It's really nice.
It is a thing then.
Yeah.
It sounds like some old-timely, like, 40s children's treat that
it
actually
so tastes
horrible.
It so fucking is, yeah. No, it's really good. Also, I'm surprised that you being Tom, you didn't think to... But I want to fucking buy a Mr. Tom and make that my, like, signature sweet.
Well, I noticed it. I do remember what they are, but I just remember thinking, oh, it's a shame that my namesake sweet bar is not something awesome. Something lame and old and shit. That looks horrible.
I think you should give it a go.
Maybe I will. Are they still a thing?
I think so, maybe. I hope it's not gone the way of other awesome sweets, like... We'll insert something here.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Do you remember Cadbury's Dream? Their white chocolate bar.
That was nice.
That was real good, yeah.
Do you remember Mars Delight?
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I can't really... I can't describe it to sort of like...
It was lighter and fluffy.
Yeah.
It was like Mars with a Kinder Bueno.
It was a bit like crispy. Yeah, fucking hell, well done, Tom! 50 points, Ravenclaw.
Yes. I'm doing well on points today.
No. And yet I haven't received any.
No. Well, you've got to fucking earn them.
Anyway, right. So, fucking hell, biggest thing of all, Harry gets a broom-shaped present. And guess what? It's a broom. It's a fireball.
It's
Ron's
a fireball.
Like, fire, no, Harry. That's a bolt of fire. What? I didn't even mean to say that. I just looked at my phone and saw the bolt bit first. Sorry. It's a bolt of fucking... That's a fucking Roman Grecian... Shut up, Gifton. Let's roll back. So Ron says that. We'll definitely cut that. So Ron sees that.
It's a Roman Grecian something.
It's a Roman Grecian thing, you know.
From the olden days.
Oh, God. What's that thing called? Like, is it... It's not Prometheus. No, it is. It's Prometheus. He stole the fire from the gods and gave it to the humans.
Shit,
so, yeah, it's like a thing. Any fucking way. We will cut all of that. Let's begin the whole podcast again from here. So, chapter 10. Yeah, so Harry gets a fucking fireball.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of like an Olympic standard broom, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the best broom in the world. It has a registration number, apparently.
I wonder what the number was. Yeah. I would just want like 0001 if it wasn't that. I'd be like, oh, I don't want it.
Yeah. But we know the Irish team have already got.
That's true, yeah.
7 at least.
I bet there's, okay, there must only be like 1,000 in existence then. That's usually like a limited edition number.
Yeah.
I wonder what Harry got.
0666.
Oh, that'd be so metal. Can you imagine?
So metal, yeah.
So Hermione fucking comes in and straight away, not even Merry Christmas, the first thing she says is, what are you two laughing about? And I was like, fuck off. It's Christmas. You can't even greet us nicely. You're such a little shit. Go back to your fucking common room.
Do you know what? I actually think the fact that she gives no shits at all that Crookshanks keeps trying to kill Scabbers. What a fucking bitch. Like, you could at least acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty out of order, really.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's like, it's your best friend's, like, pet.
Yeah.
Stop being a bitch about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's like, oh, it's what cats do. It's like, yeah, well, so what?
Well, I don't want my... Stop it from doing it, then.
Yeah.
It's my pet. If I had a pet that was going to eat your cat, you'd want me to fucking do something about
it. Exactly, yeah. If I had a fucking pet mongoose that was going to fucking spoil... That was going to fucking spoil Crookshanks' hole. You'd want me to fucking do something about it.
Yeah.
I like that. She would make spoil a word.
Spoil.
Yeah.
I swallow
them. If you have to like swallow something, but maybe like that you're not entirely happy about, do you spoil it? Or maybe you are happy about it. You're really happy about swallowing something.
Oh, he swoiled me good and proper. But then he ripped off my bollocks.
Oh, God. So while Hermione and Ron fucking get into a fight over the cat, Ron accidentally kicks Harry's chest and the sneaker scope falls out and the sneaker scope goes fucking
that
haywire.
Kind of chest. I was like, what?
I was like, oh, I was keeping it in my special protective bra.
Yeah. Before they do that, when they're just sort of muttering in amazement about the firebolt, when I was like, where, like, thinking about who it could have come from and like maybe Dumbledore.
Yeah, sorry.
And they're like, and it's like, no, you can't just go giving students stuff like this. Dumbledore wouldn't spend hundreds of galleons on me.
He fucking
like,
did.
They literally bought you a
room. That's exactly
two books
what
ago.
He did, you stupid card.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Hermione's also like, who sent you here? She basically raises a question like, don't you think you should be careful?
Which actually, I agree.
I do too.
Because, I mean, when he told her about the Marauder's map and she was like, oh, you should hand it in. I was like, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, obviously not. But this, yes, sensible. He has literally a fucking, as far as they know, a mass murderer trying to kill him and get sent a mysterious broom.
Yeah, I would have concerns. I wouldn't necessarily act upon them.
Yeah?
You know?
Would you just risk it? Just be like...
I think I'd be like, just be careful with it. Like, have a test with it first.
But I don't know. Knowing what I know about magical cursed stuff, it could be like literally as soon as you step on it, curse triggered, boom, you're fucked.
But they don't know that though. And
Ron does, because he warns Harry about the books and stuff, that the enchanted stuff that his dad has dealt with. When Harry goes to pick up the diary in the bathroom, Ron's like, careful, if someone's cursed something, you know, there's no having a little look. Like if you open it and it's cursed, you're
maybe
fucked.
Yeah, I just think you should. I think you've got to leave people to their own device sometimes. I know she's just trying to be a good... We'll get to it here, but... Right, so they go to Christmas dinner. Oh, sorry, no, the sneaker scope goes off, and I thought, what the fuck is... What good is this if it's not actually telling you what is the sneaky thing happening?
Yeah, like the remember all.
Yeah, like, it's no good. It's just making me paranoid now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do anything about it. Thanks for ruining Christmas. So they go down to the Great Hall for Christmas dinner, and it's a much smaller crowd than previous years, so they just use, like, a random table instead of the house table.
Yeah, they're all just sat around one table in the middle, all, you know, the few teachers and the few students that are there.
It's just like a circle of, like, TV trays, just, like, on their lamps. Yeah, and then Trelawney joins them.
Yeah, Trelawney appears.
So she says, oh, I had a vision that said I should come down and join you guys. And then Ron's like, yeah, and she's fucking hungry as well, I bet.
Yeah.
And then
Dumbledore goes, oh, let me draw you a chair, Sybil. And then draws a chair with his wand in the air. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Okay, very good.
Oh, God, he's such a twat. And it spins in the air as well before it lands.
Does it?
Yeah, and I'm just like... Ugh. And you just know what his chairs look like as well. Oh, maybe you don't. Maybe we have a different idea of what they look like.
You know, the chair I picture is like sort of silvery white and pretty basic plain wooden.
Really?
Yeah, but now I think about it, that's just, I don't know, say a chair and that's the chair I picture. But see, actually now I'm thinking about
five,
it, I don't know.
He conjures a chair and they make a point of describing it. And it's described as quite like a plush, like kind of a luxurious looking, like a comfortable looking chair.
Yeah.
But I imagine it sort of to look like a high, like an armchair, but like in like an old lady's cottage, it to look like that for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because they say that McGonagall's chairs look like fucking like Victorian, like hard back. Straight yeah. chairs kind of thing. Which is quite interesting to figure that maybe like the stuff you conjure is a reflection of your personality.
Yeah, maybe you only have a certain amount of control over the finer... Maybe the more advanced your skill gets, the more control you have over the finer details. But in the initial instance, if you just try and summon a chair, it'll be like in, you know...
Yeah, so maybe some people just summon like bean bags and things like that.
That's the people who are really lazy and don't give a shit. Or just people who are very sort of, you know, malleable and supple.
Yeah. People with no lower back problems.
Yeah.
So Trelawney doesn't want to sit down because she's like, if I sit down, there'll be 13 of us at the table. And then they're like, yeah. And she's like, when 13 dine together, the first one to rise is the first one to die. And do you want to know an interesting Easter egg?
Go on, then.
At Christmas dinner in book 5, there's 13 dining and Sirius is the first to get up from the table. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. No, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But McGonagall doesn't give a fuck. He's just, we'll risk it.
When I was listening to this, I was thinking that McGonagall and Trelawney are me and you.
Yeah,
oh, God.
She's just like, we'll risk it. And then as soon as she sits down, McGonagall says, tripe, Sybil.
Yeah, so they go back to the common room after dinner because Hermione's hung back in the Great Hall to have a little chat with McGonagall.
Yeah, to grass him in about the fucking fireball.
So McGonagall comes in and she basically confiscates the fireball.
Yeah, and it will take a few weeks to run all the tests on it. That seems a long time.
Because they say they need to strip it down, and the boys are like, what? You're going to
strip it down?
Yes, we're going to chuck it in a wood chipper and just see what happens.
Yeah, not going to check for charms. You got it too good already.
We don't like when orphans have nice things.
Yeah, and I get like the impulse on Hermione's part. You know, she's just looking out for her friends, and I think it's her concerns are very reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have gone to the extent of actually, like, dobbing them in.
Exactly, that's the thing. I don't think I would either.
But the point is, if I was Harry, I would probably have told McGonagall about it.
I see.
To be like, really? Look, I think so. Well, because otherwise she's going to ask.
I bet you wouldn't. I think if it was, like, a random present that was kind of awesome, but if it's, like... You're a Quidditch player who's just had his broom destroyed and you get a fucking fireball. Do you think you really would?
If there was a mass murderer after me and I get a mysterious broom that's the best broom in the world, that's like the exact present that I would want.
And you're 13, remember?
Well, exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. I can't remember in clear enough detail what it was like to be 13, but... Now, I would definitely be like, well, this is clearly a trap.
Well, that's because we sort of have a better awareness of things being too good to be true.
Yeah,
I feel like
maybe.
At that age, if like a white van had pulled up and been like, hey, I got a box of puppies in here. Do you want to come see? I'm like, jumped inside.
Right, well, McGonagall takes the firebolt, going to take it to Madame Hooch and Professor Flitwick to strip it down. And it
have
will
sex
be...
with it.
Dress it back up in what remains of its dignity.
Yeah, and then Hermione, then Ron's like, what the fuck did you do that for? And then Hermione's like, because I, as well as Professor McGonagall, think that Harry's been setting that broom by Sirius Black. And you're not wrong, Hermione.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong, but you're still a bitch.
That's the story of Hermione's life, isn't it?
Can you imagine she's on her deathbed and she's like, I told you I was sick. And then Ron's like, you're not wrong. You're still a bitch. So, chapter the 12th, the Patronus.
Yeah. By this point, Harry was positive that there was nothing wrong with the firebolt. How? You haven't... What?
Maybe just because it's been that long, so he's like...
Yeah.
God, if they fucking found anything, they would have found it by now.
Yeah. And Wood settles in to talk to Harry about Quidditch, and he's all fucking hyped up and excited.
Yeah.
And then Harry tells him about the firebolt, and he's basically fucking jizzes in his pants.
Yeah, he's like... And Harry's like, don't get too excited yet.
You'll make me go.
Oh, Mom. You made me ink. God. Yeah. So, but Wood sort of like doesn't really like listen to the fact that Harry hasn't got the broom anymore. He's just excited about the fact that Harry like has the broom.
Yeah. Well, Wood goes off and goes, I'll talk to Professor McGonagall. I'll make her see sense.
I'll make her see sense. Guess I'll have to put my hand in the biscuit tin.
Yeah. I'll take the shortbread this time, Harry. I'm sure you've had enough.
I'll take that shortbread and I'll dust it with all the sugar you can imagine.
If it'll get you that firebolt, I'll eat all the shortbread in that tin.
Yeah. I can eat it before it goes in the oven. You know what I'm saying, Potter? You know what I'm saying?
He's like, yes, worry. Oliver, I know what you're saying.
Oh, God. So Harry and Ron have been avoiding Hermione because quite rightly they're like really pissed off with her. And she sort of like realized that she needs just to give him some space because it's just a very tense environment. Which is like not mature, but I don't know. I feel like anyone would handle the situation exactly the same. I don't know if I could look at someone who had fucking taken away the best Christmas present ever.
Well, yeah, again, I find it difficult to put myself exactly in their shoes, in their 13-year-old shoes. But I feel like, you know, I feel like she's pretty sensible. Like,
gee, I mean, yeah. It's that kind of thing, like, where your parents might be doing like the right thing for you, but you're still within your, it's still reasonable for you to be mad at them for doing something, you know?
I suppose so, but I tend to think much more in line with the parents these days, and I find right. It kind of hard to, I don't know, to think in a way that where I can't see what they were trying to do.
I think it's, I don't think it's a case of not seeing what they were trying to do. I think it's just like sort of empathizing with both perspectives.
Yeah,
I guess.
I suppose so. And I suppose I kind of do. I think what I struggle with is I can't imagine not being scared of that broom.
That's weird.
Because there's a fucking murderer after me and I get a random best present in the world with no name attached to it.
Yeah, so I wouldn't go to that straight away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I would.
If it was something like a box, like a black box that looked like spooky that...
Well, they're not going to send something that looks like a fucking spooky thing that a murderer has sent. They're going to send something they know you want.
Yeah. But I feel like a broom is so, like, innocuous, you know? It's just
no, it's
like,
not. Yeah, you fly fucking like hundreds of meters in the air in it.
I feel like you'd know pretty straight away. I feel like you could always just jump off a broom.
Not if it was cursed so that it didn't let you jump off it, or if it, like, you know, fucking.
But surely you would know as soon as you touched it, right?
Well, I imagine you'd probably know as soon as you activated it, as in, like.
But it does, because it floats up to, like, something higher when he opens it.
Does it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so okay. It's like, I just feel like I would think, oh, something bad would have happened by now. I think I would want it too much to believe that anything bad could be associated with it. Even if it was, you know, I'd be like, oh.
Maybe.
I don't think I could deal with having to be, like, separated from it. When it's, like, the thing, you could, like, imagine someone getting you the perfect present, you know, and then you're like, well, I can't have it.
Yeah, no, you know? Yeah, I totally get that. But that's not quite the situation. The perfect present has arrived mysteriously.
Yeah.
Plus separate factor of murderer wants my blood. Hmm.
It'd be different.
Also, we're in a world where objects can be cursed in ways that really fuck you up.
I just feel like if it hadn't done something by the time Hermione had, like, grasped me up, maybe it was fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be that willing to dismiss the possibility that it might kill me as soon as I step on it, but... But yeah, fine. They're pissed off with Hermione, and yeah, okay, I get it. Hagrid gives quite a nice Christmassy Care of Magical Creatures lesson where they all sit around and watch salamanders playing a fire.
Oh, I didn't.
It's quite brief. Remember. It's just like a paragraph, but I was like, oh, okay, that's nice.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
And then, yeah, Harry and Ron comment that Lupin doesn't look well again. they're like, oh, I wonder what's wrong with him.
Yeah, and Hermione's like, oh, yeah, because like they say it's sort of like around her, but not to her, because they're not talking to her.
Still. Yeah, she's just like...
And then she's like, ugh. And then Ron's like, what? What the fuck are you tying for? And then she's like, oh, well, isn't it obvious? And then Ron's like, no.
Yeah. If you're going to tell us, just tell us. Otherwise,
yeah, shut the fuck up.
Do one. Yeah.
Yeah, go back to your fucking room. You will be our blood. She really should have told someone if she had figured it out, you know?
Yeah, but then I guess it's his private business, isn't it?
But it is, but also it is a dangerous thing. She maybe should have spoken to Dumbledore, because he might have been, yes, I'm very well aware.
Oh, I think I would have assumed that Dumbledore knew. There's no way Dumbledore hired a werewolf without realising it.
No, but I mean, I think...
If you had a concern about it, you might take it to him.
That, like, the way that we see Dumbledore is not there... They barely interact with Dumbledore ever, you know, especially Ron and Hermione. So I don't think their sort of view of him is the same as what ours is.
Like all-knowing.
Yeah, because they don't know almost anything about him, really.
Maybe not. I mean, he's still a famous wizard.
Yeah, I mean, they know, like, she knows the stuff she's read in books. I feel like this sort of trust in him that he knows exactly what's going on all the time. I don't reckon that's sort of just like
maybe
a given
not.
For a regular student.
Yeah, yeah, maybe
not. I think that's sort of really specific to being as close to him as Harry is, you know?
Yeah, or having the bigger perspective on having read the entire series.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, Lupin, Harry, like, goes to him after Defense Against the Dark Arts and is like, hey, when are we going to start Dementor defense lessons, basically. And Lupin's like, ah, yes. How about this Thursday at 8? And Harry's like, super. And
super.
I put it in my diary.
Yes.
My Tom Riddle's diary. I kept it. Why? Because it has a hole in it. Yeah, so Harry goes to his first lesson with Lupin.
Yep. And the Boggart does seem to have full Dementor powers.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. I was like, okay, so I guess it can do everything that a Dementor does.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like a pretty fucking powerful being then.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it turns into like Voldemort, if it has Voldemort powers.
I mean...
That's very dangerous.
Yeah, it is. Which I guess is why Lupin didn't want Harry fighting it in the first Boggart lesson.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because maybe although they're dangerous, maybe they're not like sentient enough to like actually know what to do kind of thing.
Yeah, because Voldemort's still like basically human, right? And humans don't just have innate, like Dementors have innate powers, which is, you know, suck the warmth and happiness out of a place. Mm. And so maybe they don't have like the person specific, like if they were going to turn into any human, because whatever human was someone's worst fear.
Yeah.
I don't think, like if someone's worst fear was, say, Sirius Black and another person's worst fear was Voldemort,
yeah,
it might turn into... an illusion of either one of them, but still just have the sort of basic level human abilities like talking and walking and stuff.
Huh. Hmm.
Maybe. Whereas a Dementor, all Dementors have those powers as their like basic kind of inert passive abilities. Like it's just what they do. It's their like nature.
I guess so. But if you are turning into a wizard, you not think you'd have...
If you're
like,
turning into a specific
magic
wizard.
Ability that the wizard has.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a question that she... I bet that's just a thing that she didn't think about. Because I feel like in the books, they sort of come across as more specifically just an image of the thing.
Yeah.
Because the Dementor, when it comes out of the box in the book, in the film, sorry, it doesn't have like special Dementor powers per se. And it just sort of seems like Harry's reacting to it based on sort of like what he expects to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so he sort of, his mind does it automatically kind of thing. Whereas in the book, it's very explicit that he's experiencing the full effect of a Dementor.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Thinking about it,
it was actually a really fucking, if the Boggart can assume the full powers of whatever it turns into, Lupin's lesson with the Boggart, he didn't know what it was going to be when he put it in front of all the kids. They could fear horrible shit. Like, that was really dangerous.
Yeah. But maybe it doesn't, because if it turned into a full moon, surely it should make him turn into a wolf, really.
Yeah.
You know?
So it can't have the full powers of everything it turns into.
Yeah. I reckon it's just a mistake on JK's part. I bet she didn't quite think that anyone would like look at it in that like in depth.
Well, I think that's an ongoing theme in this podcast, isn't it?
Yes, I reckon it's just like an oversight on her part.
Yeah, yeah, I really don't think it should have the full Dementor effect on Harry.
Yeah, because there's no reason for it to. There's no. Like, it just has to look like the.
Because it's not a Dementor.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm, curiouser.
It does give us some insight into the Voldemort murder scene.
God, yeah, that was pretty harrowing, actually, to listen back to that.
Yeah, and he starts to hear his dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, my dad fought off Voldemort so that my mum could escape.
Yeah, because he hears his dad go, Lily, take Harry and go upstairs or whatever. Mm. And it's like, fucking hell, that must have been... When you actually think about what it must have been like for Harry to experience that, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah, it must have been awful. But then, like, I did think, maybe this is too boring a point to actually keep in the final thing. But Harry's dad effectively says, you know, I'll hold him off, you go away.
Yeah.
Puts himself in the line of fire so that they can get away.
Yeah.
And then him dying for that doesn't protect Lily at all.
Because Harry's dad didn't have a choice. So Snape had asked Voldemort not to kill Lily specifically. So when Voldemort went to kill Harry, he said to Lily, step aside. They're like, step aside, silly girl. I just want the boy or something like that. And then Lily was like, no, please take me instead, not Harry. Then he was like, step aside. And she chose not to still, so then he killed her. So she made a deliberate choice when she... So she had a choice. She had a choice, and she made the one of sacrifice.
Okay, I see. All
Whereas
right.
he was going to kill James regardless.
Well, alrighty then.
So yeah, Harry does... It takes him a couple of goes, because it is, as you can imagine, it's quite overwhelming, but he does manage a Patronus in the end.
Yeah, a sort of misty, formless one.
Yeah, and fucking Lupin keeps on fucking plying him with chocolate. Yeah. I was like, the amount of fucking chocolate he gives this kid, I'm like, mate, chill out.
You're going to give him fucking diabetes.
Yeah. God, not to mention fucking rot his teeth.
Yeah, and then Harry asks... Oh, shit, what does he say? Lupin says something about James.
That's it. He goes, oh, like, you must have... No,
oh, that's
dad,
it. No, because
right?
Harry says, I heard my dad. And then Lupin's like, you heard James.
Ah. And I was like, oh, you knew my dad.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, we were friends at Hogwarts.
And then he says, so you must have known Sirius Black as well. And Lupin's like, he sort of goes a bit ashen faced and he's like, yes, I knew him, or at least I thought I did.
It's like, yeah. Oh, the weight of your words.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically after that, like, Harry gets a bit frazzled because he's got Quidditch practice 3 nights a week and then he's got Patronus practice and only leaves him 1 night a week.
Although as the Ravenclaw match comes up, Wood increases the number of Quidditch practices to 5 practices a week.
I wondered why. I was like, Harry, you've got enough time.
Yeah.
So he's only got 1 night a week to do homework. I was like, that's a lot to squeeze in 1 night.
And Hermione's workload finally seems to be getting the better of her.
Yeah, I just imagined her sort of scribbling away in the corner, like her hair getting like bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Like mountain of books and parchment just piling up. And is arithmancy just wizard maths?
I think it's like numerology and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of.
So they can choose to take a math subject.
Actually, I've went in the time to Google.
Because like arithmetic, and then mancy is like, you know, what you put on the end of anything to make it wizardy.
And then so Ron starts questioning Hermione's timetable because he's like, so so-and-so saw her in Muggle studies or ancient runes at so-and-so. But that can't be because that's at the same time as blah, blah, blah. And they say that she hasn't missed a single lesson of ancient runes, but she hasn't missed a single lesson of so-and-so either. So how's she doing it? And Harry's just like, I don't know, mate.
Yeah, Harry's like, mate.
Oh. Mate, I don't know. Just give me back my fucking fireball.
Yeah.
Because fucking 2 months, it's February now, so 2 months have gone by.
Yeah, 2 months.
That's a long time to have your fucking Christmas present, you know?
Yeah. And then in one of the, Harry's still continuing his lessons with Lupin.
Yeah, do you say anything about the butterbeer?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Lupin gives Harry butterbeer.
Good, I'm glad we got that sorted. Okay, so, no, I just thought, he offers it to Harry and Harry's like, oh yeah, my friend's got me that from Hogsmeade or something. Or he says like, oh, I had that in Hogsmeade.
He's like, Lupin says, you won't have had this before.
Yeah, and I'm sure this isn't the first time they've had butterbeer.
The first time we hear about butterbeer is in Hogsmeade.
Is it?
I think so.
But it's such a standard drink and they do have it at Hogwarts, right?
Do they?
They must do, because I feel like it's... Well, they definitely have it in book 4 because... what's her name? Winky is drinking butterbeer.
Oh, she gets smashed on it, doesn't she? Yeah. Well, I mean, when they're in Hogsmeade, like earlier in the book. No, when in chapter 10, earlier when Harry sneakily goes there.
Yeah.
Ron says like, "Oh, Harry, you have to just go to the Three Broomsticks. You have to try butterbeer."
That's so fucking bizarre because it seems like such a standard drink in the wizarding world now that I can't.
I guess they always have pumpkin juice in the...
That's fucking boring.
It sounds horrible, actually.
I had pumpkin juice at Universal Studios. It comes in a really awesome bottle, which I kept, because as like the lid is like a pumpkin, it's really cool, but it tastes like shit.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Pumpkin tastes like shit in general.
Yeah, pumpkin pie is mostly squash.
Yeah, it's fucking nasty. Yeah. Don't give it to me on Halloween. I don't want it. Yeah, so Harry asks what's under a Dementor's hood, and Lupin tells him about the Dementor's kiss.
Yeah.
Which sounds really fucking bleak.
Yeah, it does.
And also...
That's the Dementor's whole vibe, though, isn't it? You wouldn't expect it to be anything happy.
True. Yeah, it's not a nice thing to happen. It's not a Valentine's treat.
No.
I suppose it depends on where you get it, right?
Ooh. Oh, God.
Mate, it's an ejaculation like you can't fucking imagine. Your soul comes out through your dick.
I mean, that's the blowjob of a lifetime.
Yeah. You can only do it once, but it's worth it. Yeah. But Harry gets his broom back.
Yeah, he runs into McGonagall on the way back from Lupin's lesson.
And I did like it because they're like, yeah, she's like, yeah, so we did everything we could on it and there seems to be nothing wrong with it. You can have it back. And then Harry's like, seriously? And then McGonagall's like, seriously? And I did like, I like when she has like a little like moment of like humanity.
Yeah.
You know? And then she's like, you've got a very good friend out there, Potter. It's like, wow. Harry doesn't really seem to wonder anymore about that.
No, he's just like, oh, I guess people just get things sometimes.
Yeah. But so much wonderful stuff has happened to me already. Yeah. I'm quite used to it. Wow, I just found £1 million.
Well, he kind of does even do that. He finds he has a big fucking mountain of gold that's his.
This truly is the best day ever.
So he goes back up to the common room.
Oh, no, yeah, so he sees Ron.
Yeah.
Ron's like, no, we really should make up with Hermione. I'm like, you boys are fickle as fuck. Like... Yeah.
Now they've got the broomstick back.
Yeah.
We're cool, Hermione. And he's all like, oh, yeah, will you let me have a go on it and everything? And yeah, cool.
And which I wouldn't.
Why?
It would have to be like a month after I'd like had it. I'd be like, yeah, okay, you guys can have a go.
You wouldn't let them have a go?
I'd be too scared of them breaking it. And I'd be like, for fuck's sake, I've just got it back and you fucking, you ginger twat, you just broke my fucking broom. Can you afford to buy me a new one? No. Yeah. It would have to be once I'd sort of like really, sort once it wasn't so new and maybe I'd like nicked it like on the handle a couple of times or something. So it wasn't like spick and span anymore. Then I'd be like, yeah, okay, you can have a go now.
Man,
so
you wouldn't let your friends have a go.
I would. It would just be, it would be like if you just got a fucking brand new like fucking Bentley. And I was like, oh, Tom, can I have a go? I doubt you'd be like, yeah, sure, mate.
Well, no, because you haven't got a driving license.
Fuck off. Yeah, I've got a provisional. So they go back to the common room and Neville's lost the part. He made a list of the fucking passwords.
Yeah.
And he's lost them, which comes back to bite him in the arse later. In a very big way. But they all go back into the common room. And I don't know why I got really serious.
Yeah. No, seriously, guys, they all go back into the common room. Let's all just calm down.
Yeah. They make up with Hermione, and Hermione's like, look, I was just trying to like look out for you guys.
And they were like, yeah, yeah, we know. Fine,
it's fine. Whatever. And then Harry's like, I'm going to go put this upstairs. And everyone's like, oh, can I do it, Harry? Can I
just
hold it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And then Ron holds it like it's a piece of like glass or something. He's like, very like delicately handling it, which I respected that. I was like, oh, Tom, Ron, you've got the appropriate level of like, I would appreciate seeing my friend take that much care with it. I'd be like,
yeah,
I like that. But yeah, as soon as he fucking goes up, he runs back down again, screaming with a fucking torn bedsheet in his hand.
With a bloodstained bedsheet.
Yeah. He's like, oh, she got away. No, Ron's like, oh, it's scabbers, blah, blah, blah. And then Hermione's like, what? And then he fucking shows her, he thrusts his hand forward and he said, I found this next to it. And it was a handful of red cat hairs.
Yeah, gingery cat hairs, torn blood-stained bedsheet.
Yeah.
Scabbers gone.
I feel like that's a lot of conclusions to come to without seeing an actual like body of a rat, you know?
Yeah, although why else would there be rips in his bedsheet and a bloodstain on it?
Guys, choose your own adventure.
Yeah, look at we don't even need to. Yeah. I mean,
Nothing we say could be as good as what you're thinking. But yeah, and that rather neatly brings us up to the very end of the chapter.
Yes, it does.
I don't think it's a very good cliffhanger.
No.
But I don't know if it's just because I know what happens, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be more like, it should have been something serious related, I feel.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of this week's episode then, I guess.
Yeah, have you got any closing thoughts, feelings, desires?
No.
I just quite like the way that it's all advancing, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. This is it. I mean, I'm still enjoying just the experience of going through the book again.
Yeah, same.
I'm not quite, yeah, with the first book, as we know, it was all a little bit like, come on. But the second book was had some ridiculous nonsense, but was largely good. This book has some ridiculous nonsense also, but is good.
Yeah, like the ridiculous nonsense in this book is more just because we've read it so many times. Yeah. On a first read, you wouldn't pick up on a lot of this stuff, I feel.
No. Well, I didn't pick up on any of it on any reads until this time going through. But then I haven't read them since I was young, really, so.
Yeah, I think it's quite nicely paced. I don't know, I sort of feel like there's a very casual, although everyone is concerned, I feel like there's not enough concern over the fact that Sirius Black is loose, you know?
Yeah.
There could be more sort of, like, guys, there's an actual, like, mass murderer who's after a student and he's not been caught.
Yeah.
And he's got in the castle already. People are not on very high alert.
That's true, actually, yeah.
And it's a bit worrying, because if this was real life, and say like a mass murderer from like a prison had broken out,
after a student at a boarding school, and they had evidence that he had got into that school before, that school would be closed.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. And it would be closed until the guy was caught. Yeah. There wouldn't be no question about it.
And there'd be like high protection around the people he was after.
Yeah, the police would be outside all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
And they've only got dementors and no auras, which is bizarre.
Yeah, I wonder if auras had been invented yet. Mm, in her mind, I mean.
Yeah, I bet they hadn't. Mm. I think we only hear about them in book five. No, book four.
Four, because Moody's an aura, isn't he?
But is he described as such, or is he just described as a dark wizard catcher?
I can't remember.
I feel like it might be the latter.
Yeah.
But I could be making that up as well.
We'll see.
Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, then shame on you, because you listened to the whole thing. but yeah, so please, guys, rate us and review us on the Apple Podcast app. It really does help us sort of get us out there, make us come up in people's searches and things. And we want more people to enjoy this as much as you guys are. So yeah, rate and review
us
on Apple.
We need more listeners, because listeners equals validation.
Yes. I won't have a good Christmas if more people don't tell me they love me. No amount of maroon jumpers can change that.
How about zero?
Isn't it weird? When we were like kids, fucking getting clothes and stuff for Christmas is the fucking worst.
Yeah.
Now I'm so fucking happy when I get underwear and socks for Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, mate, it's exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I can't deal with clothes shopping. And if I get all my clothes birthday and Christmas, that's fine, because I don't have to clothes shop for that year.
Yeah, just give me socks, pants and cash.
Yeah.
That's the name of my first album. So everyone, please check out our Instagram at PaulieRedPod. Check us out on Twitter. We're not as active on Twitter, but every now and again we have polls and things on there. So check us out every now and again. That's at PaulieRedPod. Email us in your thoughts and feelings or your discoveries or your corrections at PaulieRed@gmail.com. And yeah, I've been gifted, I guess.
And I guess I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has most definitely been Hagrid. Jagrod. Yeah, Jagrod's been Jagrod. Bye-bye.
Bye.